You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily on this Tuesday. Tommy Gester, Jacob Albrock, Max Power producing the program on this Tuesday. You can join the show on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. You can also leave us your voice comments. All you have to do for that is listen to the show on the free Odyssey app. Click the microphone button. Leave us a message right there. We can play that back on the air. Also, on top of that, you can leave us your video comments. We're live streaming on YouTube, on X, on Facebook, on the 12 News Connected app as well. Lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. Here in this hour on the program, we will get into more football talk with our NFL and Chiefs insider Felix Johnson. That will be in our very next segment. We'll also revisit the Royals, and we'll get into game number two of their series tonight against the Texas Rangers. That's all What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with the just-announced Kansas Lagerfest. Join WBC along with over a dozen more breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. That might be something I have to go to, Jacob, because I'm a big lager guy.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time for sure. I'm a lager fan myself. Lagers and pilsners are my favorites.
Good.
Lighter, see-through. I know myself. I don't need to be drinking, diesel fuel.
A loaf of bread.
Right.
Yeah.
I like those on occasion, but not when I want to have a handful of beers. Hey, you want to win while we're telling you about that, feeling a little generous? How about some golf? How about some free golf simulator with Swing 365? You can get a week for free on us by texting the keyword swing to 20357 right now. That's swing 20357. You get a week of access to a great private simulator. It is fantastic. All to yourself. You can watch some games. You can do whatever you want while you hit some balls. BYOB, bring your own food, whatever you want. Swing 20357. Good luck, everybody.
I've got myself a tea time there later today, actually. Because it's going to be like 97 degrees outside, and I wanted to, swing the clubs, and I didn't want to go outside and play. So I've got myself an hour and a half at Swing 365.
Good luck to you. Do you play as well on a simulator as you do in real life?
I don't think I do, but that's okay. I mean, it's a different environment entirely. And so I'm not there to try to, you know, post a score. I'm just there to relax and get some swings in.
Yeah, me too. It's enjoyable. It's a good time. We appreciate it. There's a lot of NFL stuff. It'll be fun to get to. Do you see the Commanders are now trading or wanting to trade or maybe going to trade Brian Robinson Jr.?
I saw that.
Man, I'm telling you, I think they're the team most poised to come back down to earth. They got the McLaurin situation happening. I don't know. I love Jaden Daniels. As a Cowboys fan, I'm not going to actively like root for the Commanders, but I just have a bad feeling about them this year. It just seems something seems off with the whole thing. And I don't think they're going to be bad. I don't know if they're going to be another 12 win team again this year. You got to keep your rookie with all the weapons. And they did. They improved his offensive line and did all those things. But this McLaurin thing still isn't solved. And I don't know what's going to give there. He apparently wants $33 million a year. And he's, 30 years old, 29, 30 years old. I don't know that they're going to give him that.
I still feel good about them. I mean, this stuff I know is still kind of hanging over their heads, but they've got a really solid coach and Dan Quinn. They've got playmakers on both sides of the football, and then Jaden Daniels. I don't see him having that sophomore slump like C.J. Stroud did. I know that you can draw the comparisons. I don't believe that's going to happen with Jaden Daniels. I'm still pretty high on them overall. I don't think they're going to trade Brian Robinson Jr. And I think they'll get the Terry McLaurin situation figured out. So I don't know. I feel pretty good about them overall. And I think the big takeaway from the game last night, did you see the Bengals defense and how bad they were? I mean, they were freaking awful last night. They were so bad.
I saw that they scored a bunch of points. I didn't watch their first team defense. No,
it was awful. There was a lot of chatter on social media that the Bengals ought to be getting the Trey Hendrickson deal done right away because of how bad the defense was. I remember that. I think you can draw parallels between this situation with the Bengals and Hendrickson and what the Chiefs had going on with Chris Jones a couple of years ago. You could tell there was a clear deficiency at defense and the defensive line, you know, specifically with the absence of Chris Jones on the field. You could tell that it was glaring last night for the Bengals not having Hendrickson on the field.
It's, you know, Chris Jones is more impactful on every play than a guy like Hendrickson. I think the Bengals are the outlier. Like all the conversations we're having about these edge rushers, like TJ Watt and his whole, like the Steelers aren't going to win the Super Bowl. Right. Miles Garrett, the Browns aren't going to win the Super Bowl. Micah Parsons is a little closer to a good team that has a shot, but still don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. Don't think they could. The Bengals are kind of this outlier. The Bengals, I think we all feel like could absolutely win a Super Bowl with a respectable defense. They didn't have one last year. Hendrickson's the best player on a bad defense by far. I do think sometimes his numbers get a little bit inflated because their offense is so good and because other teams throw the ball around on their defense. But you feel like they have to. I want to know, but like as we were just looking up Dalton Risner, like why is Dalton Risner a candidate for the Bengals? Because then it gets back into that, well, if they have a need to protect Burrow, who over his career gets sacked a lot, then to me that still prioritizes over Trey Hendrickson. I know Felix Johnson, we don't need to get in Micah Parsons with him again, and maybe you are more with it. Like, to me, when you've got, like, you have to do everything in this league you can for your quarterback first, and then you do the ancillary stuff. And for a guy like Burrow, who has been significantly injured a number of times in his career, if they're trying to bring in offensive linemen off the street, then I think they have higher priorities, no matter how bad their defense is, than spending $45 million on Trey Hendrickson.
Well, clearly,
but it is what it is.
Clearly, the strategy is going to be similar to what it was a year ago if they go that route, and that is just try to score as many points as you possibly can and try to protect Joe Burrow at all costs to do it. And if we give up 40 points a game, as long as we're scoring 41, we feel pretty good about that. The problem with that strategy, though, is that that's exactly what they did a year ago, and they missed the playoffs. Yep. So
and the other problem for them is they notoriously start slow.
Horrible.
If they didn't do that, then it horrible. Wouldn't have mattered. Like last year, they have been the worst starting team in football over the last 3 or 4 years, I believe. I saw some numbers on that because it always feels that way. Quite frankly, because I always lose a lot of money on them early in the season betting, because you're like, how the hell did the Bengals lose that game? And then they'll get white hot to the end of the year. Like clockwork, this happens. The Bengals changed defensive coordinators. They replaced their longtime guy, Lou Anarumo. Now it's Al Golden. I do think when you have those types of quarterbacks, it is more important to make sure they're in a good position. So I get it. Now, I don't know. I don't look at their salary cap as, you know, closely and specifically as we look to the Chiefs or whatever. But if they have any holes in their line or anything else, like, you've got to prioritize that. Burrow's been hurt a lot in his career, and he's absolutely one. To me, he's at least the fourth or fifth best quarterback in football. He might be the second. Like, I think Joe Burrow's fantastic. So you got it. They've done that with their receivers. You got to build around him. You can get improvement through a different defensive coordinator. Like, you can do those things. Maybe they can afford Hendrickson and they're just being stingy, as they notoriously are. I don't study them enough on their cap, but I don't think it's as obvious as people would like it to be with these edge rushers to say, oh, you got to pay that guy because he's really good. I agree that they're really good. I don't agree that that position should command that salary when a team can neutralize to some degree until the game flow switches. Like, you can go the other way. You can roll your quarterback out the other direction. Like, you can do some things to neutralize a $45 million player. You can't really do anything to neutralize Chris Jones. He's coming up the middle at you. You know what I mean? Like, it's so I don't think it's as obvious as people want to make it out to be with these edge rushers. I also think replacement value has some value. The Chiefs have had great defense. When was the last time the Chiefs had an elite pass rusher? Chris Jones, an elite rusher. Oh, sorry. Justin Houston.
Justin Houston. Yeah, that's probably the most recent guy.
How good were those defenses?
They were not very good.
I don't think it's as important as the group thinks it is to have an elite edge rusher on a defense. I think there are other ways to be good on defense. I think that it can be game planned against. And I'm not saying I don't highly value those players. I do. I just don't know that they're worth some of the money that they're getting when you're looking at the grand scheme of things. I think if you have a great quarterback, an offensive line is far more important than an elite edge rusher. But, you know, they're commanding the dollars. I think, what are you supposed to do if you're Micah Parsons or Trey Hendrickson? You want to get paid? I get that, too. I'm not sure I'd do it if I were these teams. We'll come back. We'll get Felix Johnson in to talk about maybe Felix Anyadikayuzama and all the Chiefs news, notes, and things happening there. That's next on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, and we do welcome in our Chiefs Insider, Felix Johnson. Felix, we're getting closer and closer. We're almost there. One more preseason game. It is sort of the dress rehearsal, it sounds like. Andy Reid did kind of flip-flop games two and game three this year. So as we go into that finale, where we will see the closest thing to regular season football that we've seen, what is the number one thing you were trying to see Friday out of that game?
I think that's what's very interesting. I mean, Andy Reid always has probably the most interesting preseason for any head coach, because he still does it mostly the old-fashioned way, but he's still using this third preseason game, and not necessarily the fourth one, to figure out what his team is going to look like heading into and obviously being that the fourth one doesn't exist anymore, but he's using this fourth game as – or excuse me, this third game as like, all right, We're ramping up for the actual season to begin. And obviously that's what you should do instead of not playing anybody for the entirety of the preseason, because that's how guys get hurt in the early season. At least that's how my philosophy would go. So I think I'm just looking for some type of consistency, especially in the early part of the season, where last year they didn't have Hollywood Brown to start the season. And then Rashee Rice goes down in the first month of the season. Now he's going to be there for about the first month of the season again, but do want to see some type of consistency going into the season. But the defense didn't look great. But again, we're playing backups and against the Seattle Seahawks and Sam Darnold, who is a legend, apparently.
Well, the big question and the conversation continues to be, what will the Chiefs do at left guard? The Kingsley Suamataia experiment continues to not work. Andy Reid talked about how he's okay at run blocking, like he saw some good things in run blocking. But, I mean, there were multiple situations in that second preseason game where he just looks to be a liability in pass coverage. What do you think the Chiefs will ultimately do, not only in this next preseason game, but getting into the start of the regular season?
It is probably the biggest question mark. And it is kind of a champagne problem. Like, who's your left guard? And then previously it was an all pro, and now it's a question mark. And for a lot of teams, it is just generally a question mark or a period at the end of the sentence, because it's whomever their left guard is. And so, like, I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are in this position of saying, like, oh, we had one of, if not the best left guard in football for however many years Joe Tooney was employed by us. But at the same time, they're still looking for their Josh Simmons at that position. But that doesn't exist because it's the left guard position. And so you're going to have to kind of roll with who you roll with. And it might end up having to be Kingsley Suamataia because he's the guy that's right there, unless it's a Jalen Moore or whatever the case may be. And I think that would, at this point, if there's this many questions surrounding what Kingsley Suamataia is going to look like at any position on the field, you probably shouldn't play him.
I agree with that, which is why I think Moore at left guard makes the most sense. I assume Juwan Taylor will be back and fine and starting. I think it's interesting we haven't heard much about Wanya Morris. That kind of as an option, especially at left guard, because if that was an option, he'd be playing there. That's what kind of makes me think Morris is going to be your swing tackle. Moore, who they envisioned as a tackle just out of necessity, may end up. But he played some guard in camp earlier in the camp. We haven't heard about it in the last couple of weeks, but maybe it's just they're waiting on Juwan Taylor. I don't know, but you can't put that pressure on Simmons. You can't take that risk with Mahomes. If Suamataia is just getting beat constantly, like, there has to be a better option than that.
Right, yeah, and like I think that's where some of the problem lies, is that there's a rookie on the other side of him with health concerns or whatever the case may be. If you had Joe Tooney and even just a veteran player just playing left guard, you'd feel more comfortable with that, or with a veteran left tackle like a Donovan Smith over the last couple of years. You feel more comfortable with putting Kingsley Suamataia at left guard because there's less liability on that side of the football. But now you have a rookie and essentially another rookie who hasn't played and hasn't played well, if he's going to start there. But in the case of Wanya Morris, I think that, again, the Chiefs keep drafting tackles year after year, and he was kind of the first run of these guys. And so it's kind of been proven, like, well, they drafted Wanya Morris in the third round. And then the next year, they're like, all right, he still wasn't good enough after he got some playing time in his rookie year, and said, all right, he still wasn't good enough. Got to get Kingsley. Kingsley's not good enough. Got to go get Josh Simmons. And so it is kind of how the dominoes fall. It's one of those things that you kind of look at as a trend, particularly with one NFL team. But at the same time, it is kind of telling with how they feel about some of their depth.
The other main takeaway, Felix, from the second preseason game, the defensive injuries. We're seeing players kind of, you know, start to fall like flies a little bit, and especially as depth is concerned. The biggest one, Felix Anudike Uzomah on IR, out for the year, hamstring injury for him. But then there's also some blows to the depth in the secondary, like Nazi Johnson and Mike Edwards. Obviously, Christian Fulton's been dealing with an injury and hasn't played so far in training camp or in the preseason. What's your biggest concern defensively from an injury perspective?
I think it is Christian Fulton, particularly because he is that extra veteran piece, because we've talked about this secondary. A lot of these guys are going to get paid by either the Chiefs or otherwise, or whatever the case may be, after this season, because they're all drafted about 3 and 4 and 5 years ago, because that's just how their contracts worked out. And I think Christian Fulton was and is this, and he'll obviously play this year probably upwards of 10 games. I'm assuming he'll get his ankle rolled or whatever the case may be throughout the middle of the season. But at the same time, you do want to see him come out and start strong, especially coming off or having this injury in training camp. And you have this group of a secondary that is as cohesive as it can be, and we've seen as good as it has been over the last however many years. But at the same time, when you do integrate another piece, it has the chance to really throw some things off, and we've seen crazy things happen. And I don't want to bring up the Bob Sutton days, but we can if we really want to. And so like that, and I'm not saying that's ever going to happen because Steve Spagnuolo is just a better football coach in general. And so I think that it is going to be interesting to see particularly what Christian Fulton does early on in the season and if that injury does affect him.
Felix Johnson joining us. You can find Felix work at the Talk Ball podcast at Arrowhead Addict. Felix, we make our way through it. So in this final game, Hollywood Brown is back. It kind of feels like they're going to be mostly full strength other than this injury to Felix and Udike Uzomah going through if they survive it. Jalen Royals is dealing with some tendonitis in the knee, but Rashi Rice is going to play at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. Opportunity for Mahomes and company to cook here early in the year, I would think. He's going to have pretty close to his full cast of characters, it looks like, to start the year.
Yeah, and I really hope so. But when you have in Brazil, you have to go up against a divisional rival with Jesse Minner and how good the Chargers defense was last year. And hopefully for their cases, they've only gotten better. You have a Super Bowl rematch. And you're just the Kansas City Chiefs, so you have a target on your backs in general. And I'm not saying that the offense shouldn't be better for all the reasons that we've talked about all summer long about why they should be better, whether it be that guys are just back and Rashi Rice is back for the first 4 to 6 weeks or whatever until the hearing on September 30th. And so I think that the offense is, because the pieces are back, it is particularly exciting from the outside. But I even think internally they're excited because of, and it's another incredibly obvious reason, because of who their quarterback is and the mindset he has going into this season of, and I know it is, it's kind of annoying because we talk about things like this every day, but these are things that these athletes focus on every time. I mean, you watch The Last Dance. Michael Jordan had these little chips on his shoulder. Patrick Mahomes was not the number one ranked quarterback in Madden this year. He's a little pissed off about that. He wasn't the number one ranked quarterback in the NFL top 100. He's a little ticked off about that. So he's going to find a way to get this season popping one way or another because of the last couple of seasons not going the way they are, the Super Bowl loss, and those things. And so it's just a bunch of these compounding factors that I think we've seen it from a bunch of great athletes before, that he's just going to have one of those chips on his shoulders. And Patrick Mahomes is one of those athletes that we've seen that it's just one of the greatest of all time when he turns the pressure onto himself.
Let's talk about some other major storylines around the league, Felix. I think we've exhausted the Micah Parsons conversation over the last few weeks, but in that same realm, Trey Hendrickson is still without a deal. And it sounds like there are rumors going around that the Bengals are shopping him and there might be some teams interested in giving back quite a bit in return to Cincinnati to get him traded. He wasn't on the field last night in their preseason game. The Bengals defense looks awfully bad. What do you think Cincinnati will do with Hendrickson?
Well, that's the thing. Even with Hendrickson last year and all of his productivity, they were still pretty bad on defense last year. Like, he led the league in sacks last year, and he's been a really good player for these last couple of years and important to Cincinnati for even longer. Their defense was still bad with him. So I think that it almost doesn't matter what they decide to do with him, because there's a lot of different things that they're going to have to figure out with their defense in general, whether or not Trey Hendrickson is on their roster. And it just behooves them to have him on his roster, similar to my idea about Micah Parsons. I don't mean to bring it back up, but at the same time, you have one of the best players in the league, or at least one of the highest productivity players in the league at this position. It only behooves you to have him on your roster. But even then, you were still probably, in Cincinnati's case, he was on the field most of the time, so you were still pretty bad with him. What do you do? I don't know. And you can't ask Joe Burrow to win a boat race or win a race every time, but that's what he had to do this past season, and they still almost made the playoffs. And their defense, the only thing that they can do is make their defense better, and the only thing that they've done is make their defense worse by not signing Trey Hendrickson as soon as they could.
They're kind of like the Cowboys, too, though. They've changed coordinators on that side of the ball. I think they hope for improvement there. Who knows if it'll come? I just, like, we were looking at options at left guard. Dalton Reisner, former K-State, you know, great, came up. Tommy brought him up. Apparently he's close to signing a deal with the Bengals. And so for me, like, man, if there are any offensive line issues in Cincinnati, and we know Joe Burrow's injury history, and we, like, that's where I'm spending my money too. Mm-hmm. I think I don't know. Like you're on the line. I just edge rushers. There is, to me, there's a correlation in the highest paid guys playing for teams that aren't real outside of Bosa. Maybe. Like, I just don't think I agree that particular position is as important as the market is saying it is right now. And this happens in the NFL. We saw running backs not get paid at all for a long time. Now everybody's paying their running backs, right? Mm-hmm. This is such a league of ebbs and flows, but like Chris Jones is the unicorn. He's coming up the middle. You can't game plan around Chris Jones. If I'm playing the Bengals, I can game plan to some degree around Trey Hendrickson. I'm going to roll my quarterback out the other way every time I throw the ball, right? I just don't know that that's a position worth $45 million a year.
Well, I think that's true with a guy like Trey Hendrickson, sure. It's not true with a guy like Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons or TJ Watt, where there's only a handful of those guys in general in the NFL. Like you can probably include a healthy Derwin James, Buda Baker, Bobby Wagner in his prime. I mean, even last year, Bobby Wagner was fantastic. So there's only a handful of guys in the NFL that you would have to game. Chris Jones is obviously one of those guys that you would have to game plan against in general, regardless of position. And those are those guys. And I think we get kind of hung up on the fact that some of these guys are edge rushers. And like, yeah, Trey Hendrickson is an edge rusher, highly productive, but he isn't as effective as a Micah Parsons is, as a Myles Garrett is. And you can tell just by watching those games be played. And, like, again, I think that those situations last year, the Cowboys, their defense wasn't good, large part because Micah Parsons was out for 10 games throughout the middle of the season, and their quarterback situation wasn't great. TJ Watt, the Pittsburgh Steelers, their quarterback situation isn't great. I think a lot of these situations come down to who their quarterback is. And obviously you have to pay other guys on the team. And if you have the best at any other position, you got to pay those guys. And in general, that does help you out the most. And so, like, again, I think it comes down to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Dallas, all of these other teams figuring out who their quarterback is, and it'll make everything else make a little bit more sense. And I mean, Dallas, I think Dak is their guy for now, at least. I think they have more
paying
of a,
that way.
Exactly. I think they have more of, there's different teams that have more of a Philadelphia Eagles setup where it's like, let's try and pay everybody. And that's kind of where the NFL is now. Let's just try and pay everybody and then see where we're at and pay it off in escrow in 4.5 years or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, that's what you kind of have to do because that's what the Eagles are doing. That's what the winning team is doing.
Well, look, the Chiefs pay their guys too, but they don't have an edge rusher making 45. They have Jones. It's not that all those players you just mentioned are all great players, all of them. They're all some of the best players in the league. It's a math game. Does paying that position make the most sense? I don't think we're going to see the great teams doing it. I just don't. I think we're going to see them paying offensive linemen. I think we're going to see them paying quarterbacks. Now all of a sudden they're paying receivers, which used to be a faux pas.
Well, that's what the best teams have always done, with the exception of the New England Patriots. You pay your offense, your quarterback primarily, and the offensive line, and then one star defensively. Whomever that is, and then it might be a Jalen Ramsey or a Chris Jones or a one player that it makes your plays on defense. But at the same time, you kind of have to pay those guys because all those guys that I mentioned, those are some of the best, not even non-quarterbacks in the league.
Like
you
throw in
Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase and Saquon Barkley, though that's still the list of the best players in the NFL aside from Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen.
Yep, I agree. Felix, what do you guys have cooking for us here that we can find this week?
You know, my good friend Cody Alexander and co-host on the Let's Talk Ball podcast is one of the strangest people of all time because he'll wake me up out of a cold sleep or I'll be at the gym and he'll be like, let's talk about something crazy, the Bucs defense, and 45 minutes later, we'll have a full podcast on it. So this week, Let's Talk Ball Extra, talking about the Bucs defense. It's a lot better than it even sounds because Cody's a genius and I try to follow along as best I can. But that'll be coming out this Friday along with our NFC South preview episode coming out tomorrow.
Ooh, we previewed the NFC South yesterday. We've got to preview another division today. We're going to actually do that next.
All right.
It won't be the NFC South. It won't be the NFC South. It'll be the AFC South up next on Sports Daily. Felix, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
We'll talk to Felix again next week. It'll be the bye week, basically, of the preseason now, next week when we talk. Yeah, we've got AFC South talk next. I think that one's probably my... It's not the least interesting because it is a little open, but it's probably my least favorite, I think.
Why?
Perhaps to talk about this year. I don't know. Like, I just... I don't know. It's got plenty of intrigue and plenty of interest. I got to be nice to the division, I suppose, but it's just because none of these teams are contenders. And maybe Tampa's not either, who we talked about yesterday. None of these teams are contenders. They all have interesting things, though. It's kind of a crapshoot in the division. It will be interesting to see where we both stand in this division because there is a lot of turnover. All right, Tommy, AFC South, here we go. Right now, Vegas has the Texans at 9.5 wins. They've got the Colts at 7.5 wins, the Jags at 7.5 wins, and the Titans at 5.5 wins. Those all feel fair-ish to me. Nothing just stands out urgently. Last year, of course, the Titans were the worst team in football, 3-14. The Jags were perhaps the most disappointing team in football at 4-13. I think we saw progress with the Colts despite their quarterback issues. The Texans, despite taking a major step back, I think we could all agree, still won 10 games. So that takes us into this year. Who's winning this division this year, in your opinion?
I think it's a pretty wide open division. I mean, maybe outside of the Titans. I think the Titans will be better than 3-14 this year, and they're probably out of the divisional hunt at this point, maybe a year or two away from being able to challenge in that potentially. But other than that, the other three teams, I think, are relatively wide open. The Texans have come back down to earth. You know, they're not, I don't think, the NFL darlings anymore like they were in C.J. Stroud's rookie season. Last year was more of a disappointment for the Texans because they could have taken a big step forward, and they really didn't. You mentioned it in the last segment that you don't think anybody from the division is a real contender. I agree with that. I don't think any of these teams, even the division winner, is going to be a true contender to win a championship this year. I'm still probably going to lean Texans. However, in my mind, the wild card would be the Colts. And it's not, really? And it's not because I love Anthony Richardson. It's because they now have a security blanket in Daniel Jones in case Anthony Richardson isn't effective or gets injured again. They still have Jonathan Taylor, probably lost a little bit of a step from the last couple of seasons, but they've got Michael Pittman, who's been a really good receiver over the years. I like Shane Steichen, head coach there. I think he's a good offensive play caller. So they'd be my dark horse in the division, but I'm still probably going to slightly lean to the Texans.
I think there's a world where Jacksonville can win the division. I think there's a world where Indianapolis can win the division and the Texans. I think the Texans are rightfully the odds-on favorite for that. They need to figure out how they're going to run the ball, which is going to be a problem if they can't. They are leaning real heavily on what they hope will be a very talented wide receiver room. You know, they brought in Christian Kirk, and then they drafted the two Iowa State rookies highly, and then Nico Collins is a stud. I think they feel like they're going to be able to sling it this year. Trading away Laremy Tunsil was a little curious. I love their head coach. So I think they're rightfully the odds-on favorite. I think the most interesting team is Jacksonville. I think there's not much – I don't think the Colts are going to be bad. I don't know how good they're going to be, but I don't think there's much of a chance they'll be bad. Jacksonville's all over the map. Jacksonville won four games last year. Where did that come from? They won 8-9 the 2 years prior. So, like, to me, they're the real, like, what in the world, like, the range of possibilities for Jacksonville is as high as any team in football. Brian Thomas was a star. They went and they got Travis Hunter. They went all in for Travis Hunter. Trevor Lawrence, he's never been great, but he's been better than he was last year, certainly. So, I think they're the widest range of outcomes for sure. I could easily see them getting back to 8 or 9 wins this year. I don't think that's crazy at all, because at the end of the day, I think they have the second best quarterback in the division. We'll see what Cam Ward does as a rookie, and he could easily take that mantle. But as of this point, I think if you look at it, you would say they have the second best quarterback in the division. right? I mean, is anybody scared of Daniel Jones at this point? I don't think so. And then Tennessee, look, I'm with you. I think Tennessee will get better. Don't sleep on a huge improvement. We saw it with Houston, right? When they drafted CJ Stroud.
I mean, Tennessee
improvement.
Tennessee has
Jaden Daniels last year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
it's possible.
Tennessee has one of the easiest strengths of schedules in the league this coming season, you know, based on you know, assumptions on what we think their opponents are going to do this year. But it's one of the easiest, at least on paper, strengths of schedule. So, I mean, I certainly think that we'll see an improvement from 4-13 a season ago to get better this upcoming season. I don't think they're contenders. I don't think they're even a contender to win the division.
Right. They just don't have a lot of talent.
Right. They're probably not even a contender to get into a wild card spot. You know, I think they're a ways away from that. Although Cam Ward could be a great surprise. And
we've seen it happen before. How many years in a row have we seen rookie quarterbacks come in and be great?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It feels like every year.
You're right.
One of these guys comes out and lights the world on fire.
Because the Jags are all over the place, I mean, I'm going to completely stay away from them because you have no idea. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has been around for a minute now, but with the new head coach, we don't know what Liam Cohen's going to do at head coach. We don't know the way the talent is going to be able to gel. I'm going to stay completely away from Jacksonville this season. I think for me, again, with the Colts, as a dark horse pick to win the division, I don't know if I'm going to pick them yet. I think I'll probably still go Houston at this point. But I think that by adding Daniel Jones, all that really does is raise the floor for the Colts. Because if something happens with Anthony Richardson, if he can't go or he's ineffective or whatever the case might be, at least you would think there's not a substantial drop-off to another quarterback. Like, Daniel Jones is never going to be phenomenal, but at least he can be serviceable at quarterback. And so we've seen it happen multiple times where Richardson's been hurt or ineffective for that matter, and they really have nowhere else to go at quarterback. They brought in a safety net. They brought in a security blanket at quarterback that should raise their floor to where they're not probably going to be a bad team.
Yeah, and they didn't get anything out of quarterback last year anyway and won 8 games. And Daniel Jones has taken a team to the playoffs and all those things. They're going to be built around the run. I think they have a respectable enough defense. I think they're the safe pick to finish second. I think Jacksonville's just curious to me. Look at what Cohen did with Baker Mayfield and that Buccaneers offense. They have collected a lot of talent, I think, in Jacksonville. We'll see. But it is a division, to me, again, it's not as interesting because none of these teams are a Super Bowl contender. I think if you squint hard enough, the Texans are probably the closest to a Super Bowl contender if everything were to go right, because you do like their defense. And C.J. Stroud just a couple of years ago showed us he could do it. They have brought in a ton for him to work with now in the pass game, not in the run game. They got to figure out how to run the ball. Joe Mixon looks like he's maybe not going to play. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. But if you can do worse than Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, and a couple of highly drafted rookies, both of whom I actually kind of like, the two Iowa State receivers. So I think you can squint hard enough and find them as the closest thing to a contender. And that's not necessarily fair to them because there aren't a lot of teams that actually are contenders over the Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens across the rest of the AFC. Maybe you still put the Bengals there. But yeah, it's a tough division.
By the way, keep an eye on DJ Giddens for the Colts. Because if Jonathan Taylor gets injured at any point, he's a year older now, and you know, if you end up having some diminishing returns from him, Giddens could have a fairly significant role in that offense as the primary backup potentially to Taylor. And he could be a guy that the Colts lean on, especially considering that it's not like they have, you know, an MVP caliber quarterback on that roster.
Yeah, it's good. You just sent me something, Tommy, a bit of breaking news here as we'll turn the corner on the AFC South. I don't think there's any problem with that. K-State basketball adds another international player, a Romanian center who was a good prep player. He's 23 years old with 2 years of eligibility. this K-State roster, how are they going to communicate in the locker room?
I don't know. You've got like guys that are from all over the world that are playing for Jerome Tang. Yeah, his name is, I believe, Doran Buca is his name. He's a 7'1" center out of Romania in this year's class. Like, he'll join the team this year with 2 years of eligibility remaining. I don't know much about him other than, I mean, the fact that he's 7'1" is fairly significant. I think.
They had a need for a guy with some size, but man, they have made a clear priority to go international this summer. It'll be like Gonzaga out there watching K-State basketball, but it's going to be an interesting mix. I didn't know they were still shopping around like that for players, but I guess they get one. And again, now you remember in the NBA where they had that stretch of, this would have probably been the late 90s, early 2000s, maybe, where it was like international dudes were at the top of the draft every year. We're kind of getting back to that, honestly. And it's like, how do you get excited about the draft? Like, I don't know anything about these players. When we were having a conversation of Darko Milicic over LeBron, how are we, and I feel that way now, like this K-State roster. I'm like, I want to be excited, but
who's the
I've
best?
I've literally never heard of any of these people.
Who's the best Romanian basketball player of all time? Can you think of his name from Romania?
Man, you're asking me Western European.
I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Basketball history.
Who's the best? Generally considered the best Romanian basketball player of all time.
What era did they play in? You're gonna have to give me a hint.
We were kids.
Peja Stojakovic?
No. I don't think he was Romanian.
I don't know where he came. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I'm going to stereotype all of those countries together.
You remember? You remember George Mirison?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's generally considered the best Romanian player of all time. He was what, like 7'8", 7'7"?
7'7", something like that. Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember. I remember George Mirison. I remember all those tall guys. I thought that was the funniest thing when I was a kid, seeing those guys out there. No offense to anybody with, you know, ties to that part of the world, but I can't keep those countries straight, especially when it comes to which, you know, athletes come out of the former Soviet Union. Was Romania? Romania wasn't in the Soviet Union.
I don't think. But I always remember him.
It's in that.
Wasn't he in that? He was in that movie with Billy Crystal. That's where I remember him. Not only did he, you know, play and he was like 7'8" or whatever, but he was in a movie too.
Yeah, he was. What was that? That was a good movie. All right. Was Romania in the Soviet Union? Yes or no? Tommy says...
No,
that's correct. Yeah. They were not. That was, what are we doing? What am I doing right now? Why am I looking at
you? Never know what you're going to get on this show. We could talk sports. Right. We could talk, you know, international relations and the former USSR. We could talk about all of it here on Sports Daily.
We're talking about that part of the world where these basketball players keep coming from and not knowing anything about them. And there, a lot of them are coming over to the state. I love this, by the way. I think it's far more interesting, and I'm much happier that a lot of these guys are not going straight to the NBA, and some of them still are. Obviously, we've had a major international flavor of the draft the last couple of years, but the more these guys that come play college basketball, the better it is for college basketball, and the more we'll learn about them as players as they get ready to go into the NBA. It's just better for us. K-State adds a 7'1 Romanian center today to the roster. All right, that'll do it for us on a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Special visit from K-State, Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats. He's going to hop in. We'll start his visit. He will, I believe, be checking in right before he takes off from Ireland, for Ireland to get ready for that game this weekend. Looking forward to that conversation. We will get the ins and outs of the K-State roster with Wyatt Thompson tomorrow. We've also got Trey Eslada, our KU insider, stopping by. Royals baseball tonight, 6:30. We'll preview another NFL division tomorrow. Tommy, we're there. It is that time of crazy time of year.
We're locked and loaded, getting ready to get right into it.
Can't wait to do it. Can't wait to do it with all of you. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jake. See you then.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.